Welcome to This Is Source, the podcast that invites you to explore the depths of your being and tap into your true potential. This show is all about inspiring you to discover the power within yourself to create a life of purpose, joy, and fulfillment. So sit back, relax, and let's dive deep into the essence of who you are.
Today we have Gene Key Ambassador, and Gene Key's for me lately been big thing. You know, I discovered Gene Key's, I think like several months ago, and I was like, hey Mark, you have to look into this. You know, it's amazing, because I always been very human design person. You know, I studied human design, and Gene Key's gave me like this new opening. We really wanted to get somebody from Gene Key's join this podcast, and you are in Gene Key's since 2012, correct?
I've been in with him since 2014, to be exact.
Okay. So it's a long time. It's a long time. And I mean, you know, we cannot wait, you know, to dive into this conversation, and maybe you can give a little bit of your background. I know you did some fitness and other stuff. And so just a little introduction, and then we can just go to this beautiful conversation about Gene Key's and many other things, I think.
Yeah, sure. And thank you, Agris, for the intro, and also just helping us spread the message of Gene Key's. I think at a time that we're going through a lot of transition and changes within the world, and, you know, with our different institutions, it is like a place we can fall back on with this system and this teaching. So I'm happy to share that. But yeah, my journey into this work, I used to be a trainer in the fitness industry, and I just realized that just using a physical body to attain results was quite superficial. And I sort of lost interest after a few years of being in the industry and seeing where it was leading to. And I've always had my eye on esoteric works, the science of the inner self, and how that can bring out new ways to be and new ways to think and feel if we keep ourselves grounded and in our bodies. So that led me into the work of Gene Key's through my mom. In fact, she was on a workshop and a retreat doing some ayahuasca, would you believe, taking some herbal medicines, and that came across, the book was there on a side table, and she couldn't put it down and had sent me just the words of it, saying maybe you'd like to try out the Gene Key's. And those two words, as they came to me, it sort of just gave me an insight into saying, oh, there's something here I want to check out. And so I did. And at the time, this was, I was going through some unstable waters, shall we say, in my relationships. And I was wanting to know in myself how I could change my patterns, specifically in my intimate relationships. So I felt this calling inside to check out more about this work. And so I bought the book, and it was delivered to me. And when I received it, I just felt this restraint to say, just to hold off a little bit, take your time with it. And so I put it down, and I felt it was a book of treasures. And so I put it down, I went to bed. And then when I was in bed, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I felt this word drop. The word drop came to me. I was like, okay, what is this? What's all this about, saying the word drop? So I ended up saying it out loud, and I felt these energies started to come off me, sort of like binary codes of zero and ones, just these energies just letting go the process. And the more I would say the word, the more these energies would start coming out. And eventually after a period of time, I went back to sleep and woke up in the morning. I felt myself totally safe and secure in the four walls of my room, and it left with this sort of very tender energy, and to the point where I just wanted to be alone. I didn't want to be around people, because I felt the energy and the aura that was surrounding me was so tender and delicate. It was like having cushions around me, and I could just sort of support myself onto these softenings, as it were. And any energy that was coming across, I felt would be polluting the energy that I was in. So this sort of happened for a period of time, and I had no sort of thoughts of what was going on in my external environment. It just so happened that I was actually going through a breakup, and I didn't really have any sort of resentments or anything else like that. It was sort of just allowing myself to just let go of what was going on, and just to feel in more of what I was feeling for these energies. I was wondering, well, what's going on here? And so it just led me into what the Gene Key's were about. And the Gene Key's themselves, if I was just to put into, you know, a phrase or a sentence, you can see it as an open system that helps anybody and everybody to help transform themselves through these different genes or codes, as it were. And the more you look into these codes, the more they're going to open up to you like a treasure box. And we use the technique of contemplation as a means to open up this treasure box. And so it's given time, it needs space to nurture and to really dive in. And it's in essence, it's really about going into the deepest recesses of your shadows and pain and suffering and realize that there is gold there. So the places where there is darkness is the places where there is the most light. And that for me was a very, very, a way of just releasing, and also like a relief to know that, oh, this is not all gloom and doom with if I'm going through whatever's going on in my life or for anybody else, but really like an opening to bliss and to grace. And as such, it sort of just took me on a journey. I had many other sort of experiences that happened in between 2014 and now that just confirmed that what I was going through wasn't just some new agey just thing in my head, but something real that I couldn't put my head around, but that it was a confirmation to me. And that confirmation was like an epiphany, something that was felt deep into my cells. And what I realized soon after was I wasn't really going, it was like a download, but it was also more like letting go of energies I didn't need in my body. It was like a removal of layers that I was going through that I realized. And it was just a feeling of complete lightness that came about me. And that's what the Jinkies offers. In fact, it's a way of letting go of what you don't need and to go into your gifts, into your highest potentials. And so the more that you see them in yourselves and the more that you can read up on them or study them, the more they're going to come out and the more they're going to show themselves. And so, yeah, it hasn't left me since, ever since started on this journey with the Gene Keys. It's been by my side and it serves as a great support in times of need and in times of challenges.
It was a long introduction.
Sorry, that's a long introduction.
It was amazing, you know.
Like, I thought it was great.
Lots of great things. I was just want to get all this in, you know, because I think me and Mark obviously went through as well lots of downloads and lots of, you know, realizations. And Mark, I think Mark has questions as well. And like, Mark, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'll start off by saying that was great. I mean, that was with you that whole time. I think that super interesting. I feel that most people without having any idea what gene keys are would want to know, like, could that happen for me? Could I seriously buy a book that could open up some type of code for me that could make me a better person and reduce my suffering? You know, that's kind of what I hear you saying. So I'd love to dive deeper into that. And I'm curious if I know a little bit about gene keys, but not a whole lot. So I guess I'll start off by asking my own questions, which are, what are gene keys? Like, who is the creator of gene keys? How did it end up this planet? And what does it offer people?
Great questions. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, so the gene keys, they were founded by, their author is, his name is Richard Rudd. He's from Devon, in fact, in England, down south on the West Coast. And essentially, his story was he had an awakening process back in his late 20s that opened up the door to just a series of events that he couldn't put into words, but essentially they came to be the gene keys, which was an elaboration that took him over 7 years to decipher and write, that came out in the form of a book. And every single word that is written on in the book and in the teachings are seen as codes to activate your being and your DNA. So as you read them, they can open up as portals or wormholes into new dimensions. And so you could take away, as a book, there is a self-study course online. There's also a website. But even if tomorrow, if that was to be wiped out, let's say, you know, there's some crises and we don't have any power and we can't do any delivery of books, the teaching itself, which can be seen as a transmission, is ever present. It's timeless beyond time and space. And so it's within us all to just uncover what these codes are and to open it up. And so the gene keys themselves offer themselves as archetypes. Archetype being one definition, you could place it as a container of consciousness that can open itself up to any expression it would like to. And that's very similar to what we see in DNA. A DNA has many different expressions, thousands of different expressions, and there are many different DNA within us. And the gene keys themselves are rooted from the ancient system of the I Ching. Are you guys aware of the I Ching and its teachings.
Yes.
It's so very much the Tao use that book. It's been named as the Book of Changes. In essence, what happened was with the discovery of the I Ching, which is about 5,000 years ago, and then the discovery of the DNA code, the codon wheel, when you map these two systems together, they match. They identically match. And so it was thanks to, I guess, like you were saying, with human design, another system that came about from the I Ching was able to decode what what's in our DNA and what's in the I Ching. And then the Jin Keys are sort of just an evolution from human design. To my understanding, I see human design very much like a closed system. It's telling you who you are and who you're not. And Jin Keys is telling you, maybe you are this and maybe you're not this, but it's for you to find out and to go within and to realize you're going to be taking on a path of self-elimination. Sort of like you have like a lit flame within you in your heart, and it's about finding those fires that's going to help open that fire up so that you can become enlightened. So it does take you through different journeys. Sometimes you're on nice, calm, smooth streams out in the ocean, maybe baking in the sun. And other times you're going to be going through these waterfalls and tides and turbulences. But the idea is the Jin Keys holds itself accountable because it invites you to go into your challenges. So it wants you to question it. It wants you to, if you're pessimistic about it, great, go with that frequency, go with that attitude, and then see for yourself if anything happens. It just requires that you do give it the time it takes, the patience with it, and you contemplate and you be gentle in the process. So in some ways, it's training you and your mind to self-parent yourself with self-love. And the more you do so, the more you're going to find the energies will start coming to you. So it's not very much a quick fix system. There are many ways into the Jin Keys. The main one is being your profile that would show, based on the time and date of your birth, universal elements that are decoded into your system and is in effect the same for everybody. And it's the same thing with the Jin Keys. There are universal codes, and you can also see them as the word I use is isomorphic. Isomorphism is in essence that it will never contradict any other system. It will blend with the system. So it assimilates other systems and brings them in. That's why I find the system so effective, because it's never closing anything off. It's allowing everything to be included. And in the inclusion, you can transcend it. So it's a very inviting and forgiving system. No matter what happens, it's always there. And it's a way to play with that. And as such, because it's very new, it only came about from the late noughties. And I think the book was published in 2009 initially. The online self-studies came out, I think, in 2013. Hmm. So it's very much a new system for these times and for these times of turbulence to remind us of who we are and for us to burn through our own karma and shadows so that we can live from our potentials. It's one thing to speak of it. It's very much another thing to embody it. And that's the invitation. If there is still, it will show you your very core patterns that are holding you back. And by seeing those very patterns, it's inviting you to go into them. And the more you go into them, and we can explore this if you like, the more we go into certain patterns, they will just fall off magically. Yeah. There's nothing that you actually do. It just so happens of its own accord. And you're like, oh, how did that happen? It's like magic. Like, I can't explain to me how I receive the voice to say to drop off, like you say, in my experience by having a book. But it does require some perseverance and compassion for this to happen. But it will happen. I guarantee you, the more you stay on course and the more you start doing the inner work and the shadow work, it will open yourself up to the different frequencies. So I hope that answers your question. My heart could better.
Yeah, I'm curious. So what I hear you saying is that, is it a blending of both the conscious mind and the subconscious mind? In other words, like, there's a lot of programs or bodies of work that you can engage in, and it's like super analytical, and you can have all these ahas, and you can be like, oh, that's why I do this every time that happens, you know. But then there's, so you can make that conscious connection, and maybe you'd like to not behave that way moving forward, but you keep finding yourself, like, there's those patterns of behavior where it's like, oh, I know I do this because my dad did this to me when I was a kid, right? But I don't want to do that. But yet you keep finding yourself engaging in that same pattern of behavior. So when you work with Jin Keys, do I hear you saying that, like, sort of your behaviors, if you're willing to explore the shadow aspects of yourself, those unfavorable behaviors that you don't want to engage in the future sort of fall away because they're not, there's just no use for it anymore? Or, like,
that's a very good question. And there's no one answer to that. The system, as it's universal, it means you can use many ways into it. So you can use it from a left brain approach using logic, similar to what you'd see in certain spiritual traditions like yoga. You follow through a sequence, and the more you apply it, it's going to eventually just fall off, and it'll be easy for you to follow in your practice and then attain meditation. So there is that approach. The other way is also just to use your intuitive right brain way into it. And what generally happens is, especially the majority of the inner work happens in relationships, especially your intimate relationships, like you were mentioning, your childhood patterns, your traumas that come up in times of when you're with someone else or there's an emotional trigger point. Then you find, how do I stop that? I don't want to be doing the similar thing and pattern I've been doing. Exactly. And so it will happen of its own accord, meaning you just allow what's going to happen. And eventually in time, it will become an acceptance and then an embrace. And in that process, what you'll find is, let's say you're shooting a bow and arrow, you let go of the arrow. The arrow is the pattern that you're using, or you have been using since childhood, and it's going to take its similar course. But somewhere down the line, that arrow just falls. It just falls naturally on its own because it's your awareness that's shifting it. And so the change that's happening is not just through the mind, it's happening on a visceral or ethereal level. That's something that's happening in with your heart. And that's the beauty of this work. It's coming from a heart space. And so that the more you're allowing your attention to go there, the more will see things will may come up more often, and it will just test you and test your resolve, test your stability in the process. But the idea is you will fall, but it's about just seeing it and just being able to pick yourself up gently and just being patient in the process. So it's not going to be at the first time or the first hurdle that we're going to see maybe the change. I mean, maybe it could happen, but the idea is you're giving it space and a container to say, well, can I be as I am, even if I am still being triggered and still following the same patterns? Because you're giving yourself, just by committing to the process, it means it will drop off naturally. It's like, for example, you're rolling down a hill, and then the tires, let's say the brakes have, you've turned off the engine, but the wheel is still going down the hill, and you stop the process to ignite that trigger point. The wheel will still keep rolling along the road until it comes to a natural stop. And that's similar to what happens with these patterns. You will see that the ego or whatever subconscious is trying to put a hold onto you. But just giving yourself the awareness and contemplation to take place and to commit to the process, it eventually will stop and it will just dissolve. So the mind would like to ask that question, but to know when is the end point. And I can't give you the end point, but it's just to know that you can trust in the process. And the more that we trust in it, the more you're allowing yourself to dissolve in the process. Mm-hmm. It's quite funny. It gets to a point, Mark, and I agree that when the suffering comes up or the pain comes up, I don't really want it to go away. I see it more as the teacher to allow me to open up more. Because if I'm closing myself up, then I'm not opening myself up to any learning or unlearning in the process. And that is sort of like the warrior spirit. So if you're drawn to these teachings, you become like a warrior of light. And the language that is coming through you is a language of light too, when you're operating from a higher frequency. And so the more that you're seeing the darkness, the more you want to place your light there. And then it becomes quite interesting, because then certain things start to happen, which will make you want to continue on the journey. And so it's one way to keep doing this on your own through the course or through the mirrors of your actions with the people around you. It's quite another when you start to be in a community and start to go on a journey together, that things really start to come up, and also transformations start to come up. Maybe something someone says, even in this conversation, or something that you wouldn't have thought of, but it's coming into your psyche, into your consciousness, that you think, oh, I can relate to a certain point that happened in my life, and they're giving me the answer. So you start to see a quickening of synchronicities at play. And that's the fun of it. So it's very much a living wisdom. It's not information. And the more that you speak with it and the more that you engage with it, it will interact back with you. So it does take your steps to take some action, and then it will start to play with you, and then you just surrender in the process. So in some ways, it's not really for the true beginner on the journey or on the path in your spiritual quest to enlightenment. It does maybe need some other inner teachings to help give you the support to understand it a little bit more. But once you're in the trenches, it's like you're looking down the well and you're seeing darkness. But the key is just to take the leap and to realize that when you take the leap, you're not going to fall, but you're going to bounce back up and you're going to see this bucket full of well. And you don't know what's in the well, but if you open it up in the bucket, more likely it's going to be treasures. And then those treasures that you see, it's not about letting it for yourself. You'll want to give it to other people. So it's very generous. It's like, I want, for example, you guys to live from your gifts. So imagine people start working and feeling into it from this point of view, the whole world will change because we're not trying to hold on to things. We're trying to give. And the way into this too is there are certain ways that you can quicken the process to help make transformations. Like if you're asking Mark about your patterns, how can you quicken the way to receive the transformations? Well, number one is to see everyone as your friend, to see the present moment as your friend. So the more you're doing that, the more you're softening in the process and you're not trying to compete or create a division, you're trying to include. And by doing that, you're already going to make some shifts in your life anyhow. At worst, you just be nice. That's the worst thing that's going to come about. And the second thing is the art of gentleness. So again, if when things are getting tough, you just gentle yourself into the process. So whatever, there's a shock happening, you just see that as a blessing in disguise, and you use it as a way to self-parent. And then the third way is also is the science of generosity. The more that you can use your energies to either give yourself your time and your resources to other people, this is going to help generate a shift and a change in your frequencies and your field for a transformation to occur. And I tell you, if you just follow those three rules, those three guidelines, there will be massive shifts happening for yourself and for the people around you. The thing is, people just don't do it. We just forget. Mm-hmm. And it's so simple. It's really, really easy. But we've just been conditioned by society. We've been conditioned to be living in a world where we barter. I give you something and I receive something back expectantly. And so it's to work in a space where we don't become a victim to our mind. We either become, we work with the expectation or we just let it go. And the letting go is the process of being open, being vulnerable, and feeling everything. The feelings are is the feedback of your soul. The true feelings, you know, not the feelings of the mind, but the feelings that are telling you to listen to your body. And the more we do this, they will act as a compass to help you open up.
You know, when I discovered Gene Keys before Gene Keys, I was studying really, really a lot human design. And I felt this is not exactly enough for me. It was like, wait. And I started to look into human design more like, okay, how you can open the potential from each gate. Human design, there are gates. In Gene Keys, there are keys, right? It's same I Ching keys. It just made beautifully, like Richard is a poet, right? So he made it sound really beautifully. And I was doing before I discovered Gene Keys was like, okay, let me write out potentials of people. Like if the people could resonate in this highest potential, they could actually start to become it, like manifest into their lives. And I understood this is like a higher frequency for them, right? It's like, because, and at the moment I was like, oh, there exists Gene Keys. And I start to read those Gene Keys. It's like, that's it. That's actually, I was actually drowning myself to this teachings, you know, and I was so amazed at some point when I showed to Mark, and my life work is Gene Key 13, which is a listener, right? So I'm like when I'm in the city, you know, I'm empath, you know, I was like, okay, if I can get this really gift open up, and I really could feel like before I was like, how come I can listen to trees? You know, and I was giving stories to Mark, like I'm feeling trees, you know, I felt like I can literally step into everyone's shoes. It could be anything, right? Not even human beings, but also nature and everything. And I could feel it. And then I was like, okay, even that one, that life work, if I can know how to resonate on those higher frequencies, actually all the rest, it's just adjusting to the higher frequencies too. And everything becomes so much beautiful, much more beautiful. And Mark, I think for you was constriction, right? Something that you constrict yourself, and something about love and universal love. And both of us, we were exchanging, and we are like, wait, just this one, just this life work, if we can adjust to gift level and have even Siddhi, we could just, everything else just becomes so beautiful and easy. It feels this way, at least for me, you know, and if you can comment on this. And
no, I mean, that's the beauty of it, is the very words that you see, whether they're on your profile or reading in a book or anything that's coming through in the teachings, they act as portals or as wormholes. So, and if you resonate with it, or even some part of you intuitively is going to these words, like you say, in the life's work, whether it's empathy, you know, or even discord, then go there and figure out why that's happening, and also see how you can open up and expand. So, and also you can play with the words. I mean, maybe we want to just play with your profiles, for example, but if you look at any of the words, you can see how they relate from a shadow level to another shadow level in the different themes or different spheres or different universal themes. Let's say your life's work and your evolution. If you can use your adjective base there and say, well, look, if I'm being in discord, then I'm being divisive. I think the 13 and the 7 are together. So you can see how they play out. And that doesn't really make for a motivation to move away from that, or just makes you feeling depleted. And so when you just looking at the words and say, well, if I'm operating from a higher frequency and feeling into that and being an empath, I forgot what the Jinky 7, I think it's guidance.
The 7 is like leading, you know, like
leader
and seeing the future path, you know, like that, and not really and getting everything like together instead of making
compartmentalizing everything.
I think the 7 was about that, and exactly as you said, you know, like if I listening with the love, like being empathic to everything, then you naturally don't make, like, for example, me as a in a sport, I don't like, I could go and make different small groups of people and start to make, like, let's fight against each other. Instead, when I'm becoming that in higher frequency, I'm like, okay, guys, let's make a one team, you know, let's become one and move forward, because like as a one, we can achieve so much more. So it just naturally comes.
That's right. And then what you'll see as well, Agris, is that every single gene key just has a different nuance that leads to the same result, the same direction. So it's all leading into love. It's all leading into your highest potentials. And it's all leading into what is termed like a synarchy. Synarchy being like the collective vision of where society and humanity needs to go to be of service. So it's always putting yourself in those shoes to see, well, how can I serve in that way? And so the question you can always ask is, how can I be of greater service to the whole? And so the more that you do so, then you're operating from a higher level, from a higher frequency. So when you're in the shadow, it's very much one of challenge, fear, and, you know, many different words that can explain negative emotional states. And it's very hard to come out of that, because we're in that. But to know that then we have the highest realm, which is living permanently from the heart, and permanently from a higher plane, in fact, that they're in us. Those energies are also in us, and they're just lying latent, just waiting to come out. The DNA and the body is wanting you to open up and to evolve. And so the gift level is very much about, still there's fear involved, but you're seeing it as an adventure. And that adventure then is leading you as a bridge to take you to those higher realms. And the way into this is, you can use any form. You can use meditation. I mentioned also yoga. It does use contemplation, which is like a play of the two together. But what I just wanted to mention was, there's wherever it takes you is always the right place to be. And you just sit with it and you play with it and you allow yourself to pause. The art of pausing is, in essence, what is contemplation. And by doing so, it means you can either be taking a break from your daily habits, going out on walks, being in nature, taking a breath, using activities as a way just to calm the mind and for you to start receiving new insights into the process. And so as you go deeper into this work, it starts with the physical, and then it goes through the emotional and the mental stage, but it also happens in reverse. So from the mental is where you start. So you start thinking about, well, what is this teaching? So you start inquiring from the intellect, it will then go into the emotional level again to start changing those frequency patterns to higher levels of energy. And then eventually you start to feel those effects onto your physical body. So there's all these different processes happening every time and every moment. But the very knowing that if you're feeling it on any level, whether it's physical, emotional, or mental, the more you're diving deeper into that, you're more inviting something else to come and take place. And what you'll find is these different nuances are all different nuances of grace. It's really just the science of grace, and to know that suffering is grace. And if we can keep that, especially in those moments or times where you're really, you know, the darkest hour of your at night or whatever you're going through, that just that knowing of affirmation can help spark a little light in you, and to know that you can keep going. And it provides a space between the words, it provides a space between the thoughts, and it's to go into those spaces. That's why the art of pausing is such a powerful technique. And so the more you do it, you start to realize many changes happen, many different changes happen to you. So yeah, it's a beautiful system. It's very magical. It can be seen as white magic, in fact, because it's taking you into the recesses and becoming like alchemy, turning the lead into gold. So you'll find the four main teachings that come from that is the Christ consciousness. There's Buddhist, teachings in there too. There's the alchemy, and there is a fourth, which I forgot. But yeah, there are certain main teachings that are at the core of this work. So they're always at play. There's like that. That's the assimilation of the different words that you feel into in the frequencies, because it's taking on ancient lineages and applying new ones in a modern way, ancient codes and in a modern environment.
Mark?
Hey, you're on mute.
I was saying that it sounds like there's a lot that's going on beneath the surface that we're not really completely consciously aware of, but we can still take score because we're seeing a difference in the landscape of how things are working out in our life, right? And how we're reacting to things or responding to things.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it is very much a layered system, and there's so many different ways of how you can put it. And that's what also makes it very inviting, and also what makes it very inclusive and accessible. Because I did say you probably would need certain teachings to get into it, but if you feel resonated from the start, then I'd say, yeah, go there. So, you know, in some ways it could be seen as a recruitment process. The Gene Keys are asking everyone to come through to help build a new world, you know, to settle, you know, Eden, to bring heaven back into earth. And so as we see what's happening now in our societies, you know, a crumbling of institutions and systems and the economies, it's inviting us to innovate and to open up to new ways to connect, and opening us new ways to be, or to remind us who we always were and are, and just to let go of what's not needed, in essence. That's what I wanted to mention too. So you have evolution, so you can look at the shadow as, you know, what's going on, and then you're evolving to arise to the highest potential through ascension. But there's also other ways. You can also use it as involution. And involution is the process of either like saying a prayer or saying certain statements that's allowing other entities to come down into earth. And because there's both ways, you'll find that if you're looking at your profile, it will come to the center, which is like what is termed the SQ. And the SQ is seen as the spiritual quotient. It's about how open your heart is. And that's where it's asking you to rest your attention, either on your SQ or just below that in your what is termed the solar plexus. The reason being is these two main energy points in our bodies are vital for us to evolve. So the solar plexus is a means to open up your intuitive space. And so that the more we listen from our right brain or from our intuition, the more we're going into our heart space. And so as you open up your heart, you're connecting back into your mind, to your new mind. So it's like going from the lower self into the higher self. It's why there's so many different ways into this. There's so many different layers, like you say, Mark. Being able to decode and uncode and to open up a new code in you. And that's what makes it so exciting. So whenever we're faced with any challenge, just use that as an opportunity to say, okay, can I just sit with this? Can I just allow this to be? I think, Mark, you were mentioning, or I guess that you have the 25th gene key. If that's your life's work, is that correct? Do you have the 25th gene key in your life's work?
It is Mark's one.
Oh, it's Mark's one, yeah. So Mark, if you have the 25th gene key, then for you, it's about helping serve other people to remove the constrictions they have in their bodies or in their situations, and to open up into acceptance, which ends up being to universal love. Like universal love has a slight, like even in the wording when I feel it, there is a slight distance to the love. If that, it's a bit paradoxical, but that makes sense. Whereas if you have an empath, it's really putting yourself into the shoes of the other person and really feeling them, like wholeheartedly. You're feeling exactly what they need. In my way, I would say that as being like a leader. But the universal love can also open up as a system, an open system, to remind people that the love is always there to help you open up, especially if you fall down. So if you fall down, it's like, well, just look at Mother Gaia as just giving you a hug and saying, you know, I'm constricted, I'm hugged, but it's okay, I can move back up again. So you're always going through this process of allowing, accepting, and embracing every single challenge. And the more we go through this, the more it's going to open up different portals within you. And it's a never-ending process. Whenever you think, oh, okay, now I've attained it, well, there's now another, like, you know, you're going onto a summit, into a mountain, you've attained one summit. Okay, that's great, Mark, but then now there's the other, that's the next one coming up.
Right.
You've got to keep having these rest points and these pauses, A, to re-energize yourself and then move forward. So when you look at your profile, you'll see there are keys. And so every single key is within us. So it doesn't mean, Mark, that if you have the 25th key, it's only for you. We all have the 64 codons within us, and these are attached to other gene keys. So they're just more specialized in certain areas for your focus, for your attention. And so even if we're saying something about the 25th key, it will relate to everybody else because they still need to do the work anyhow. It's right. The same process. But you can always use it with, you know, like in this teaching, there's a thing called a line. So a line is another layer, another story to it. There are six of them. And these will also pertain to key patterns in your life. So I'm just curious, I didn't actually look at your profiles in detail, but if you wouldn't, maybe we can go through this, the dot, there'll be a number that you'll see in your gene key, and then there'll be a dot and another number. The other number is a line. Would you mind just sharing that with?
I think it's in human design as well. There's this like profile, right?
Yeah.
So for me personally, it's 5-1, and I for Mark, I think it was 3-5. I think it was.
Oh, the lines themselves. Okay,
those lines, right? You're talking about that profile, right? Because
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. So they all carry different energies, and they come from the trigrams, the hexagrams. The hexagram is formed by six. Just for your viewers, there's a hexagram that's a container of, or an archetype, in fact. And these six lines can be divided into a full line, or there's a break in the middle from yin and yang, and they form these different layers. And so these six different lines also can be seen as energy points that can attribute to certain patterns that you make, or certain actions that you do, and certain feelings that are expressed from within. And so, I'm sorry, Mark, are you a 1-3 or a 3-1? I mean, that's not who you are, but
Mark is three. Mark is three. Everything is through experience, I think, no?
Yes. Yeah, so you're a change maker. You're someone who would like to have many different roles. You might find yourself going into certain puddles in a road and think, oh, that's a mistake. But in actual fact, it's actually an experience. It's not a mistake because you learn from that in the process. Mm-hmm. And you use your sense of humor a lot. You've got this beautiful sense of humor that helps lighten the load and to keep on going. And that's the beauty of it. And so the change maker is very much operating from an emotional level. So you can help people emotionally. And if I remember correctly, you are here to change the way people think, feel about themselves. That's what your gift is for other people. That's what you do naturally, is what you'll do. And a line five egress is somebody who is very much in a mental capacity to help fix things, be practical, and coming from a leadership perspective. So you will always think, okay, what is the solution behind everything? So every single line has an energy point where there's a potential, and there's also a keynote that will also show you its shadow nature. So like a line three would love to escape, loves escaping. It will suddenly just go through the cracks and you won't know about it. And they're already gone and off, you know, and it's just, it's totally unconscious. It can be conscious, but unconsciously it's something that's embedded into you. So when you start seeing that, then you realizing, well, if I want to stop this pattern, then I need to just be staying in the room. Mm-hmm. And as I stay in the room, it can be very uncomfortable. But if I have the courage to meet these fears, you'll start to see it all drop off, or you'll start to see it's not as bad as you think. Now, I can relate, Mark, because I also have a three. I know in my relationship specifically, this is how it happens in my life. And I make a story about something that doesn't need to be made. So, or if there is a story, I'm still attaching myself to the story. And if I just sit in the process and not have to react, it's actually not as bad. It's like, oh, actually, all this time I could have just gone down this route. And so there's different circuit breakers, different ways you can quicken the process to change the pattern. But line five, if you want to know, Agris, it's very much the boundary issue. Sometimes they can be, they're not understanding where the bound, it's about having healthy boundaries in the process. And the key to that is to be vulnerable. The more vulnerable you are in the process, more people will be drawn to you because they're feeling your heart space. Because you carry such an aura of leadership and people feel that, the more you can allow yourself to be open in this process, the more people are going to be drawn to you, and then you become a true leader. So it's no disguise in some ways to know that the empath is the highest form and virtue of your potential, your life's work. Because if you put yourself into those shoes, you need to be vulnerable. You need to feel. And in line five, it's very hard to feel because you'll know you'll come straight from the mind. It's very much a mind space in a good way. But it just sees, okay, this is what you need to do. Just do it. You'll be fine. Doesn't worry about the emotions. Doesn't worry about the physicality. That's it. And generally it's right. But just to be able to be aware, because it can be very misunderstood at times if it's operating from a lower frequency. So there's all these little nuances, niches, and little trappings in each line and each gene key. And so as we give our attention more to the higher frequencies of the gift and the city, there's always been a guideline to give yourself 90% into those energies and then 10% into your shadows. If you wallow too much into your shadows, we remain stuck there. And that's why it's not just shadow work. It's very much work to collaborate, to form allies, to innovate, and to realize there is a new dawn upon us that's going to open up to a new world. And that's asking us to be of service. So even us being here together is of no consequence. I think it's opening up doors and possibly, let's see.
Absolutely.
I loved your explanations, and I can see exactly how that works out, you know. For if I go back to my, I've been looking in my charts and everything a lot, and for me it's funny, you know, I have to know how to listen, right? But then I have on that 43 and 23, you know, and I think 43 is it's deafness, you know, it's somebody who has breakthroughs from within. And then it's funny, you know, it's like deafness, because I find myself lots of times, like I can step into other shoes, but then I like to be within myself a lot as well. And I don't listen to anything in those circumstances, you know, and it becomes interesting, you know, and it's funny sometimes, you know, it gives me that empathic approach, but then I have to know how to be within and be really deaf to everything else in a sense, right? And really listen to myself only. So I've been juggling in between those two, and I can feel both of those within, you know, and I have those breakthroughs and lots of downloads and about lots of things. And it's extremely interesting. I could spend within myself lots like days only, you know, it's so funny. And Mark knows that, you know, that I can come up with so many things, messaging him like, oh, this just came in, you know, I love it. And we just then exchange. Mark actually, he can really add to everything love, because he has so much love keys, you know, within him. I think all those vessel of love and universal love and authentic love, and all love is to Mark. I'm listening outside, inside, you know, it's so fun.
Yeah.
I think intrinsically I always knew that, you know, but I didn't know how to get there. So in other words, like it was always important for me to be compassionate towards people, but I didn't know how to be compassionate towards people, because on a logical level, you could explain to me certain things and I could understand that, you know, like, oh, okay, yeah, I should want to be nicer towards that person because of like these reasons, right? But then I still found myself in situations where I was behaving differently and I couldn't quite understand like why I was reacting in certain situations, and kind of ties into what you were talking about before. For me, it was learning how to reparent myself. And that was like the big part of it. The big part for me was just, you know, finding that there were parts of me that were not okay, and that I was expressing that not okayness on, you know, like being triggered by other people. And so I was never really solving the true problem, right? So I was always like looking for things that were happening outside of me in my relationships. Like we were having conflict in the relationship. And then it was like, oh, you're the problem. And so, you know, to tie into what you were saying before, like, well, if you're the problem, then I should just leave, you know, then I won't have that issue anymore. But then, you know, what happens is you find someone that takes their place, you know? Or, you know, or you leave, literally physically leave a situation, you end up like seven states away and you basically recreate the same emotional issues, you know, with different people. So for me, the biggest thing was learning how to soothe myself and heal myself. And the byproduct was immediate compassion. It was like the gift was compassion, because now I didn't need other people outside in the world to give me what I had finally learned I had the ability to give myself. And so, and it allowed me to be more of like the observer in all situations, allowing people to show up as they are, right? And not feeling like in some weird way that like I needed to fix them or they needed to behave a certain way around me for me to be okay, you know? And so that's where compassion came up. And now I can enter into a situation with all people that used to piss me off like 5-10 years ago, you know? And I can literally just see them as characters in a sitcom, you know, like everybody is just behaving according to their traits, characteristics, and childhood traumas, right? And then, and it literally has nothing to do with me, nothing to do. And when it does have something to do with me, like if it does trigger me, it only means that there's a part of me that's not okay. And now I have the tools to fix or to heal or, you know, whatever words you want to choose to deal with those parts of me. And it's, so it's never anyone else's issue anymore. And like, again, the byproduct is compassion. So for me, it has completely changed my life in the sense that it took me a long time to get to this point, right? And I've studied a lot of different ways and tried to understand, but I feel like I finally understand that, at least that part of it. So you brought a lot to the table here. I mean, you have said so much and you have shared so much wisdom with us. And I feel like we could unpack, and I intend to, chunks of what you said into like an hour segment for each thing that you brought up, because there was just so much. And I agree with you with what you said before, that I think it does help to have some kind of a foundation, right? Because as you're talking, you're using sort of a different language for me, but yet I know what you're talking about, you know, because I haven't studied the gene keys, but I know exactly what you're saying, you know, but just a different language. But I could imagine how it might be confusing to people that are completely new to this, right? So probably it does help to have some sort of
foundation. I just want to add to that, Mark, thank you for your sharing. I think that's very deep. Is the issue a lot of people can have, which is quite confusing, is it seems very paradoxical. And it is paradoxical, but paradoxical to me is an apparent contradiction that reveals a higher meaning. So it's going beyond the mind that is showcasing something else that's beneath the clouds where the sun is, right, where the sun is. And so it's allowing you to go there. So that's why if you're reading like a certain key or seeing a certain pattern, there are these connections at play. And it's about finding and joining those dots together, like what you've been saying from doing your inner work. Eventually, now I see why it's happening. Now I realize that they're just parts of a, you know, people just doing their thing. I've got nothing to be involved in. I can just take a step back and be an observer. And so that's the Gene Keys invitation, is to see that, but then to keep going on to deeper and deeper layers until it's fully removed. And for those, it can take lifetimes away. So I just wanted to just mention that note, that it is a teaching of paradoxes. And in some ways, it's also quite subjective, because we're so used to the material world of just seeing the objects and being objective in certain cases. But there is a subjective element. It's the same thing with seeing content and context. Sometimes people can understand the content and they want more content, but it's of the similar pattern. But the idea is you want to expand your context. And so to expand the context, it would require you to have a higher state of quality of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking words here, but there is something that's allowing you to lead there. And that's what the Gene Keys does. If you were to see it in different layers or stages or in planes, you know, you have the physical, you've got the emotional and the mental. It operates on the fourth plane, which is the causal plane. And that's also the place where the heart is, how you can open up your heart to situations. And its claim is so that everyone partaking in the Gene Keys and staying with it through embodying, through absorbing its material and its teachings, is to remain permanently open-hearted, permanently, so that everything that happens, no matter what triggers, you stay open to the process. And that's why, like you say, Mark, is you need that forgiving, compassionate view. It has to be there, you know, in the backdrop, because it's going to help you go through whatever challenges you're going to meet. And I think it's vital for this, for everybody here, whether listening or, you know, the challenges that we're facing, is to know that that compassion is always within us and we just need to apply it. And the more we do so, it's going to help open up doors for us and opportunities. So I'm excited to see what comes of this. In fact, we're very much at the early stages, even though, for example, I've been here now for close to 9 years with the teachings. It's still very much at the early stages. So it's sort of waiting for that springboard to take off, you know? So, and anybody can do this. Anybody can just be a holder for space, for the love, for the empath, to be the listener, the fixer, the change maker. So it's not just one person, it's all of us together as a collective. And that's the powerful thing behind this. It's not just one person, it's a synarchy. So there's also two other words I want to mention. There's a thing called a synthesis. So it's applying different teachings together to bring out to the whole. And the last thing I want to mention is this syntropy, about just being able to give, keep giving. And the more you give, it's going to help produce results. That's the root value and virtues of the Jinkies.
Well, there's so much, and I know that we've like pretty much run out of time. So my first question is, will you come back? And then my second question is, I want to know, before you do come back for another session, hopefully, if you're willing to do that, if you could just tell people where they could find you, what's the work that you're doing, you know, like, I'm sure that you've piqued interest within a lot of our listeners. So if they wanted to seek you out and maybe take advantage of whatever it is that you offer.
Thank you, Mark. There is a website, costa.global. You can also find me on the social channels. I'm there too. And I will actually be offering an online retreat into the activation sequence, where we'll follow through with the four main pillars of your profile that will go through your life's work, evolution, radiance, and purpose, with the idea of helping quicken the transformations for each and every one of us. So, yeah, more to come.
Right.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing this, everything. You know, it's, for me, it feels like it's, there's so much more actually to share, right?
Yes, definitely. It's never ending. It's a never ending process. And this I'd like to thank you guys also for reaching out to have me on. So yeah, I look forward to coming on and playing and see what comes out of that.
Great.
It was an amazing conversation, Costa. And yeah, thank you so much. I really felt how you start to shine when you start to dive into some sort of details. Like you really like talk about what we have, you know, like, I think that's your passion, right? I don't know really, but I felt that you just had that fun, like to explain us, hey, you know, listen, you have this, you have that. And I think you have the passion really for human beings and open them up and give that the keys, you know, to the keys to the heart. I think that's the keys to the heart you are proposing to people, mm-hmm. to humanity. And it's beautiful. And thank you so much for everything you do. And it's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you both. Yeah.
Thank you for tuning into This Is Source. We hope that this conversation has sparked something within you, and that you feel inspired to continue exploring your own journey of self-discovery. Remember, you are the source of your own transformation, and the possibilities for growth and expansion are infinite. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and family, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until next time, keep shining your light and living your truth.